The Supreme Court today hears a case that might lead to a sweeping overhaul of cyberspace. I'm David Brancaccio. The online world as we know it in America exists because of a law that shields internet companies from responsibility for much of what is said by online users. Well, the Supreme Court today hears a case challenging that immunity. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
And David, the internet companies are arguing that this case is an existential threat, but on the other side of it, the argument is that tech giants need to take more responsibility for what's being posted on their platforms. The case being argued today is brought by the family of Noemi Gonzalez, an American college student who was killed in a terrorist attack in Paris. And what the Gonzalez family is arguing is that YouTube's recommendation engine surfaced up extremist videos, and that helped indoctrinate and radicalize people. And by putting forth recommendations of videos, they say YouTube was engaging in a form of speech, not just passing along content others made. Now, this is an important distinction because Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act is what's being considered here, and it protects tech companies from what users publish, but it says nothing about speech that the tech companies themselves engage in. No protection there. So if algorithmic recommendations are a form of speech, that would chip away at Section 230 protections.
The justices will hear a separate but related case tomorrow?
That's right. And that case is against Twitter, and it's brought by the family of another victim of a terrorist attack. And here the question isn't what Twitter did, but what it failed to do. What the justices are looking at is, can Twitter be said to be aiding and abetting a terrorist organization if it doesn't act fast enough to remove terrorist posts? So the justices are looking at Section 230 from two different angles, David.
Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you. There's a big sociology meets workplace test going on in Britain. 61 British companies have been experimenting with a four-day work week. The update now is that 4 days is working so well, almost all of the 61 are sticking with it. The BBC's Emma Simpson has some details.
61 companies, from a local fish and chip shop and a brewery to software developers and recruitment firms, took part in this big experiment, shortening workers' hours for no loss in pay. Each firm managed it in their own way. Organisers say the vast majority of companies were satisfied with their business performance, with 23 finding their revenues had broadly stayed the same. The biggest benefits were to staff well-being. Sick days were down by more than two-thirds, and workers reporting being less stressed, less tired, and overall happier.
All right, checking the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 7 to 8 tenths of a percent range. Quarterly results are on the way from Walmart this morning. Let's talk now about the big financial moments in our lives. You may know the work of Jill Schlesinger, business analyst for CBS News and a certified financial planner. Her new book, The Great Money Reset, offers a way to think about the big money stuff. Are we really buying a house now? Are we really quitting the rat race and making less money in return for more time for ourselves? Or are we paying for a health disaster? We got Jill on the line. Great to have you.
It is awesome to be with you.
We're taught grown-up way to deal with this is to save and save and save. Then you have a nest egg and you can then do your new thing. But you think about planning for these milestones in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that milestones are wonderful, but then life happens. And I'll give you the best example that literally just happened to me. I had a guy who contacted me through my podcast, saving for a while. Now in his mid-40s, he and his wife have been excellent savers. They have two young children. And his four-year-old child diagnosed with lymphoma. And it's blowing up their entire lives. And while that is the most extreme case, the less extreme case is that you might change, or maybe something comes from left field that encourages you to maybe say, is this actually the way I want to continue living? And is there something different for me?
So how do we think about setting ourselves up to be ready when we want to change or life forces us to change?
Step one, calculate the resources at your disposal. Step two, calculate your debt. Step three, consider your housing situation. The fourth step, and I spend an entire extra chapter on this, is considering your spending habits, but this is really exposing yourself. And you know what's funny about it? it's not so much that it stinks to have to list out all the things you spend money on. But what happens is you almost get embarrassed. Don't make a judgment about it. Just list it out.
Jill, I will try on that particular point. We're pretty economical in the household, except I didn't want to look at the list of the restaurant meals, right? Really? We had to go out that often?
You know what? The reason why you should put aside the value judgment is like you are where you are. You will have choices later about whether you wish to continue those spending patterns or not. I think the other part that I think is incredibly important is what kind of promises or obligations did you make to others?
It's hard, though. You know, this week and next month seems super clear to human beings, and the future seems almost always out of focus and hazy.
I worry that sometimes we get trapped by that hope and that dream of what the future is. It may be working out well for a few years or 5 years or 10 years, but it may be that actually you cannot do what you are doing anymore. I would hope that part of the idea of having a great money reset is that you do have the ability to change.
Jill Schlesinger is business analyst for CBS News, and unlike so many people who report on money, she is also a certified financial planner. The book is called The Great Money Reset, Change Your Work, Change Your Wealth, Change Your Life. Jill, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
And the podcast mentioned is Jill on Money. And while there's debate in Washington about long-term problems with Social Security, the agency is still paying what is promised, but separately, it's not going to offer the level of service recipients may expect this year. Despite a nearly $800 million increase in its budget, the acting head of Social Security has written members of Congress that she expects help over the phone will get worse this year and disability claims could still run behind. The Washington Post got a hold of that letter sent earlier this month. It's about continued trouble hiring staff and backlogs. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.